I was up here looking through my notebook thinking, man, I don't think I got the right message here. Oh, man, I was thinking there's got to be one in here that goes with that. Hey, man, I don't know if I can top that. Oh, man, thank God for the blood, amen. I am thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. What it's done in my life and what I've seen it do in the lives of others, thank God for the blood. Amen. Nothing better. Amen. Phew, I got to get over that. I had a couple jokes I wanted to tell when I got up here, and now I don't want to joke around, but Brother Brandon, I'll go ahead and joke anyway. Brother Brandon come up here, and he said that he let us all down, disappointed us, because when you saw him come up, you thought Brother Moore was there. I just thought Brother Moore didn't shave. I thought he grew a beard, and I said, what? I didn't know until he started. They got that southern accent, bald head, you know. I thought, well, it's okay. But anyway. Mark chapter number 2. Also, another thing Brother Brandon says, he said he had a 10-minute message, and if God got in it, it'd go 15. I got a 45-minute message, and if God gets in it, it's going to go 15, okay? So that's what we're going to try to do. Mark chapter number 2. I think what God's laid on my heart's going to kind of build on what's been shared tonight, and that's how God works. I'm going to kind of springboard off of what Pastor BJ preached. I've been... For a couple weeks now, I've been studying this passage in Mark chapter number 2. I was telling the pastor, we was out visiting one day, and I was telling him about some studying I was doing here in Mark chapter number 2. And I wish I could preach the entire chapter, but I don't have time tonight. But I want to look at this story here in Mark chapter number 2 about these men that got involved in this other man's life. Now, I wish we had time, and I could talk about the meeting. You're talking about a meeting. This right here was a meeting. The Bible says in verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days. I want you to notice it says again. I'm glad that Jesus keeps on coming again, right? Again he entered in. And again it says he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Thank God Jesus is in the house. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, hey, tonight Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. You say, how do you know that, Brother David? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. And so Jesus keeps his word, and tonight Jesus is in the house. But when Jesus is in the house, I'll tell you this, it's a packed place. And I think we've seen that here at Fellowship Baptist Church. We've seen when Jesus is in the house, he just draws people to him. And the Bible says that it was noise of Jesus in the house, and straightway many were gathered together. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. So I see that when Jesus is in the house, it's packed. And when Jesus is in the house, there's preaching. And if you look over in Luke chapter number 5, it says that Jesus was in the house, and it says he was there, and the power was there to heal them. You can look at it in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So when Jesus is in the house, it's packed. And when Jesus is in the house, there's power. And when Jesus is in the house, there's preaching. And I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus is in the house. And so we see that Jesus is in the house, and we could preach about that, but I want to preach on these men and how they brought somebody to Jesus. You know, these last couple of weeks, God's really been dealing in my heart about trying to get people to Jesus. And I appreciate those of you that have prayed. I've been having a Bible study at my house, and some of the men that have been coming to my house have been coming to church. One of them was supposed to be here tonight. I'm hoping three or four of them is going to be here tomorrow night. You pray, if you would, that those men would come. But God's really been dealing in my heart about this thing of getting people to Jesus. And so I want to speak to you tonight about getting people to Jesus. How do we get people to Jesus? What does it take to get someone to Jesus? Pastor BJ talked about being a witness, and no doubt that's what it takes, is being a witness. But I believe in our witness, these are some things that we're going to need in order to get people to Jesus. And so number one, I want us to look at it in verse number 3. The Bible says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so I want to preach just for a couple moments on getting people to Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And God, I pray that tonight you would help me, Lord, to get these thoughts across in the way that you've laid them upon my heart. And God, help us. God, help us. Give us a burden about getting people to Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I see here, in order to get someone to Jesus, I believe it takes compassion. You could say, I believe it takes concern. You say, I don't see that in this passage of Scripture, Brother David. Well, I can't show you exactly where it says it, but in verse number 3, it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. You see, I see in this verse of Scripture some men that had a concern, some men that had some compassion. You see, this man could not get to Jesus on his own. He was not able to get to Jesus, but these men had some compassion upon him. They cared for him, and they wanted to get him to Jesus. And I just wonder tonight, have we lost our concern? Have we lost our compassion? I wonder if when you go to work each day, you see your coworkers as people that need Jesus. Do you see your coworkers as these men saw this man in need of help and wanting to get to Jesus? Do you see those that you go to school with, young people, as people that need to get to Jesus? Those that we come in contact in the convenience store, at the Walmart, and in everyday life. I just wonder sometimes if we have the compassion that we're supposed to have and the concern that we're supposed to have for people that need to get to Jesus. You see, I believe if we're going to get people to Jesus, we're going to have to start with some concern, with some compassion. We're going to have to see people needy. We're going to have to see people as this man was, a man that was in need, a man that was palsied, a man that needed help. He couldn't get to Jesus by himself. Somebody had to care enough to get involved. And I just wonder tonight, do we care? I've been asking myself this question, and I want to ask you tonight, do you care about those that are outside the walls of this church, those that you come in contact with on a regular basis, those that maybe share your last name, those that are your family, those that are your friends that do not know Jesus? Do you care? Do I care? You see, it's easy to say we care. But if we really care, the Bible says that Jesus, over and over it actually says it, it says Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And you know what Jesus did? He did something about it. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. You see, he cared. God cared for us, and so he did something about it. It made an action in his life. And you know, I just got to ask myself sometimes, do I really care? Am I really concerned about the fact that people that I know and people that I love and people that I come in contact with every day are just like this man? They're crippled and they don't even know it, and they need somebody to get them to Jesus. And I just wonder tonight, do we care? And so the first thing it's going to take in order to get someone to Jesus, we're going to have to care. We're going to have a concern. We're going to have some compassion. We're going to have to see them as somebody with a need. Man, I wish I had time to really lay the groundwork of what this man's need was. This man was palsied. I know a little bit about palsy. I have a brother that has cerebral palsy, a brother that can't walk, a brother that needs help, a brother that needs someone to do just about everything for him. And this man was in that condition, or a condition very similar. And if we take it on a spiritual realm, can I tell you, there are people that we come in contact with every single day, and in the spiritual aspect, they're palsied, they're paralyzed. They can't do life on their own. They need Jesus, and we've got to care about them enough. We've got to be concerned enough. We've got to have enough compassion to try to get them to him. And so it starts, it takes compassion. Number two, it takes cooperation. Look at verse number 3. It says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. You see, if we're going to get people to Jesus, I believe it's going to take a cooperation. I'm learning more and more that this thing's not about me. It's not about what I can do. You see, Paul, I think about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I've planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And you see, if we're going to get people to Jesus, I hope you're hearing me tonight. I understand people work today, and I understand that you're tired. But I'm telling you tonight, this is a very important thing. We have got to get people to Jesus. That's their only hope. They're paralyzed. They're in sin. They're going to die in that condition and go to hell. And somebody's got to care enough. Somebody has got to get concerned enough. Somebody has got to have enough compassion that they're willing to cooperate and try to get them to Jesus. You see, it's not about who gets the glory. It's not about who preaches the sermon. It's not about who wins the soul. It's about all of us working together, trying to get people to Jesus. You see, these men cooperated. It was four of them. I'm realizing more and more that, you know, all I can do is go out and plant a seed, and somebody else can come along and water that seed, and somebody else can come along and they can work that seed. But it's God that gives the increase. And if we're going to get people to Jesus, we're going to have to cooperate. We're going to have to work together. I think about a church, and I thank God to be a part of a church that understands this, a church that works together, that cooperates and tries to get the gospel to the community. And that's what it takes to get people to Jesus. It takes cooperation. It's not a one-man show. I thank God for our pastor. You know, we're a very blessed people to have a pastor that understands that truth. There's many churches that have a pastor that's a one-man show. But it's not a one-man show. And if it is a one-man show, his name is Jesus. But we as his servants have to cooperate. We have to work together. I was thinking today, and I don't have time to go into it, but I was thinking about the fall festival that we had and all the cooperation, all the work that went into that event, and the Bible schools that we've had over the years, the vacation Bible schools, and the cooperation that it's taken to put on an event like that, and all the outreaches and all the hard work and the bus promotions and the activities and all that's happened. You see, it takes cooperation. We're going to get people to Jesus. We're not going to do it ourselves. We shouldn't even put that burden on ourselves. So it takes compassion or concern. It takes cooperation. Number three, it takes commitment. Look at verse number four. It says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was." You see, they could not. It says in Luke chapter number 5, it says, "When they could not, by what way they might bring him in." They ran into an obstacle. They were trying to get this person to Jesus, and they ran into an obstacle. And the Bible says they didn't quit. And if we're going to get people to Jesus, it's going to take some commitment. We can't stop the first time they say no. I mean, how many of us have sent out a text message, even maybe this week, and said, "Hey, I'd love to see you at the revival meeting this week. Our church is having revival each night at 7 o'clock, and I'd love to see you there." And they might tell you, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to try to make it," or, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to come," or, "Oh, yeah, I'm busy." And I'm just here to tell you tonight, hey, don't stop texting them. Don't stop calling them. Don't stop going by and visit them. Hey, just keep on doing what you're doing. These men did not stop. They ran into an obstacle, but they were committed. They wanted to get this man to Jesus, and they didn't allow that obstacle to stop them. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the times that God's laid someone on my heart, and I've went to them, and I've witnessed to them, and I've tried to win them to the Lord, and they just wasn't ready, and I just gave up, and God really spoke to my heart about that, and I don't want to give up. I want to commit to it. I want to really try to work with it and try to get them to Jesus. These men did not quit. They were committed. And I'm just here tonight to tell you, hey, if you've been trying to win somebody, you've been trying to work with somebody, you've been trying to witness to somebody, hey, don't stop. Don't stop. There's going to be obstacles in the way. There's going to be things that are going to try to stop you. You think the devils of hell, the demons that Brother Moore was talking about last night, you think they're just going to let that man march on to Jesus? No, they're going to try to stop him. But we have got to be committed that we're going to try to get him to Jesus. And so it takes commitment. Number four, I didn't look at the clock when I got started. I might get in trouble for this. I'm going to hurry. I mean it. I'm almost done. Number four, it's going to take creativity. Look at it. It says they uncovered the roof. You see it in verse number four. It says when they could not come nigh unto the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. It takes creativity. I put that in there because I really think in 2020 with COVID-19 and all that we're facing, you know, if we're going to get people to Jesus, sometimes we're just going to have to get creative. I think about our brother back there, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this on live stream, but I think about our brother back there and the creativity of trying to get into Pakistan and the creativity of trying to reach people in a closed country. I think about our missionaries that are on foreign fields where the gospel's not freely preached and they're having to get creative about how to start churches and how to win souls and how to disciple believers. And I'm just telling you tonight, if we're going to get people to Jesus, we're going to have to get a little creative. And we got to get outside of just sending them a text. We might have to get outside of just knocking on their door. We might have to invite them over to the house for dinner. We might have to have an event. We might have to do something a little creative to get them to Jesus. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, man, think about the guy that was the first one to say, I'm going to load me up a school bus, and I'm going to start picking people up for church. That was pretty creative. But man, think about the lives that's changed. And if we're going to get people to Jesus, we're going to have to think outside of the box. We're going to have to get a little creative. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about creativity. And so it's going to take creativity. Not only that, it's going to take courage. I mean, these men climbed up on the roof and tore a man's roof apart. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that's pretty courageous. Most people believe this was Peter's house. Some of them believe it was Jesus' house. But most people you read after believe this was Peter's house. We're talking about a fisherman that tried to cut a man's ear. Well, he didn't try to cut his ear off. I think he was trying to cut his head off, and he missed, and he cut his ear off, right? You know who we're talking about here, right? We're talking about Peter. We're not talking about John the Beloved, right? We're talking about Peter, right? These men have went up on the roof at Peter's house and started tearing the roof off, right? That's like going over Kevin Merriman's. He's got that sign out in front of his house. Y'all ever seen that? Keep out, right? Oh, hillbilly with a shotgun, right? These men went to Peter's house, right? And ripped his roof up to get him to Jesus. It's going to take courage. If we're going to get people to Jesus, it's going to take some courage. They're not going to like what we're doing. People might get mad at us. People might slam the door in our face. People might tell us to leave them alone. But I'm just telling you tonight, if we're going to get somebody to Jesus, we're going to have to get a backbone and have some courage and be willing to do the hard thing. And so it takes courage. I was trying to think of a word that started with C that had to do with work, and I don't think I think it was construction because that's what I do, right? But these men, I mean, they went to work. The Bible says they tore the roof off, right? So it's going to take some hard work, some construction. Not only that, it's going to take carefulness. The Bible says they let him down. You see that? It says they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I thought about that, and I don't have time to go into it, but they lowered this man down on a bed, this man with the palsy. They ripped the roof off, and they lowered him down to Jesus. I imagine they were being kind of careful. I don't think they wanted to cause that kind of a scene. Drop the man. That's what I'd have done, Brother Brian. Whoops! Oh, no, man, geez, there he is. But they were being careful. I was thinking about that when I was looking at this, and I was thinking, man, the times I've messed up. Because I wasn't careful. You know what I mean? You're trying to witness to somebody, trying to win them to Jesus, trying to get them to come to church, and they say something that you don't agree with, and you just pow. Nah. Sometimes we got to be careful. We got to take caution. It's a very important thing. We got to make sure that we're doing it carefully. So there was some carefulness. Number seven, and I'm done. Jesus said this about being careful. He told his disciples, you be therefore wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And that's what we got to do. We can't go out here and, you know, you stinking low-down lost sinner, drunkard. And he might be. But I don't know that that's the first thing you need to tell him when you go to his house and try to invite him to church, right? Got to use some carefulness. But number seven, and I'm done, there was a conviction. Look at verse number five. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. I think this is the most important point of all the points I've made. And that was this. If we're going to get people to Jesus, we're going to have some conviction. We're going to have some confidence. We're going to have to be persuaded, convinced that he is the answer. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Many people say it was the four men's faith. I don't know. I believe it was the five men's faith. I don't think this guy was kicking and screaming as they were carrying him. But either way, it doesn't say Jesus saw the palsied man's faith. He says, no, it says he saw their faith. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, if we're going to get people to Jesus, we're going to have a conviction in our hearts. We're going to have to be convinced that he is the answer. Can I tell you tonight, I am more convinced tonight than I've ever been in my life that Jesus is the answer. You say, for what, Brother David? For whatever. For whatever. Jesus is the answer. I'm more convinced of that more than ever. It's not about a church. It's not about a preacher. And I thank God for the church. And I thank God for preachers. And it's not about a sermon. And it's not about a song. No, it's about Jesus. That's what it's about. If we're going to get people help, we have got to understand that Jesus is what can help them. It's not this preacher, and it's not this song, and it's not this sermon, and it's not this style, and it's not this charismatic, and it's not this or this charisma, and it's not this anything. No, it's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus can fix anybody's problem, and we have got to be convinced of that. And when Jesus sees a group of people that is convinced, if I can just get that person to Jesus, they'll get some help. If I can just get them to Jesus, he'll save their soul. If I can just get them to Jesus, he'll help their need. Jesus, 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 he is the answer. These men were convinced of that. I wonder, are we? Are you convinced tonight that Jesus is the answer? If we're going to get people to him, we got to be convinced that he is what they need. And as I said, I'm more convinced now than ever. I used to think, man, if they'd hear Brother such and such preach, Brother Murray. If they'd come when the service got on. Oh, man, if it would just happen this way or just happen that way. No, it's not about that. It's not about that. If they'll just get to Jesus. If they'll get them to Jesus, he can change them. I'm convinced of that. Jesus can change them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach it. God, I pray that you would burn this message in my heart and in my life. God, help me to do my part in getting people to Jesus. God, I thank you for the word of God that's been presented tonight, the men that have presented it. God, I pray that you would bless it. God, that you would do what you desire to do with it tonight. God, for what you do, we'll thank you for it. I want you to stand to your feet with your eyes closed, your heads bowed. I'm going to ask Meredith to come to the piano. We're just going to have an invitation tonight.